So welcome to the show. It's Thursday and this is going out on Mintwave Radio. So just ask Alexa or go to the website, camrobertscoaching.com/mintwave-radio to listen live, see our schedule of other shows, whether it's on a podcast, whatever podcast platform, you can see our other shows as well. Same website, /podcast-network. To see who else is on there, who resonates with you. You can download the app on for Apple and Android and subscribe to any that's take your fancy or follow or leave a comment. So today's episode is 117. And today we have Andre Hoffman, who is Doctor of Self-Worth, Mindset Specialist in Fast Psych Transformation, Self-Image and Confidence. And we're going to be talking about, well, from unconsciousness to purpose and authentic living, the 34-year journey. So my name's Karen Roberts. I am your host, and we provide a platform for consultants, therapists, and healers to get their message heard to the people who need it. So if you are a coach and would like your own slot on our radio station or Raising Vibrations podcast network, or come and have a look at our directory and see who would be the right fit for you. What is it that you need help with right now? So anyway, Andre helps business owners and leaders who are experiencing inner struggle, self-doubt, maybe feeling exhausted, they're working hard and plagued by negative thinking. He loves to create rapid psychological transformations. He'll remove the internal conflicts and struggle from your mind to achieve confidence and the peace within. He also helps them via his own group program or one-to-one transformations that reconnect them to their authentic leadership and naturally high self-worth. He's helping people on three continents from a variety of countries. And as a result, they enjoy emotional freedom and multiply their impact in their business, in their community and their life. So if you work with Andre, you will gain a new self-image and have the space to tap into your true genius and purpose. So Andre, welcome to the show.
It's an honor to be here, Karen. Very excited to help people to plant one more seed towards a new life.
Awesome. Okay, so could you share, so that's a little bit of your background, but can you share with the listeners a little bit more about your story? How did you come to be doing what you're doing now and helping these people?
I was born in Budapest in the 70s, and it started with a very dysfunctional relationship with my dad. I felt not loved. He was busy doing his own business, always stressful, always blaming, walking at home on eggshells not to trigger him. But unfortunately, I could not win. He always found something that was not done well enough, or I didn't know I should have done. And it was painful. He was angry, stressful. Things didn't go well in his business because of his own patterns, but I didn't know it at the time. And I decided that probably I just have to be away from the house as much as I can, because I'm not good enough, or I can't deliver up to the standard. And I decided to do sports, and that had a chance for me to, I thought, to prove myself. Or winning the national championships in basketball at age 12, I thought, now, finally, he's going to recognize who I am, or at least congratulate. But didn't happen. And that was a surprise. And then I started running marathons and then climbing ice. And I thought, maybe now. But the males in my family were just incapable of congratulating or recognizing performance. And then, of course, these patterns are not good enough, unworthy. It started to externalize into every area of life. I felt anxious when I had two or three people in front of me to talk to, or even in front of a class. I was too shy to ask out girls. And when it came to finding a career or a job, I was so disconnected from myself that the only thing that came up is, where are they paying the most money? And I've done a research. This is just before university. And I said, well, if I don't know what I want, and this was the story, Karen, I really want to point this out to the listeners. The story in my head was, I don't know what I want. I don't know who I am. And I might as well better to have money and not knowing who I am and what do I want. And that was the experience for me the next 20 years. So I ended up working in banking. In 4 or 5 years' time, I realized this is just not what I want. And I would not be sitting 9 to 5, you know, for the next 20 years. I've seen people really burnt out. So then I moved to Ireland for about a year. And I followed someone who I loved. It didn't work out too well, but I realized I needed to find answers. And the answers were not with my father. So the journey has moved towards finding answers, finding out about myself. And I failed in everything that I started to do. So corporate, I was not recognized because of the not good enough patterns. Everything has become a mirror of my own inner world, and it was difficult. Did you want me to go to anything specific, or
no? It's just a just a general. How did you come to being, you know, I suppose the realizations throughout your childhood to where you're, you know, where you are right now, and why you're doing what you're doing? Because this is a familiar pattern. All these feelings of being unworthy, you know, many people, and I'm sure a lot of the parents, they don't realize, or they maybe didn't know what they were doing, how much damage they were doing to their children at that time. But as you said, it has a knock-on effect to what you do, and many do, because of our conditioning through schooling. Just because we're different countries, I'm sure the school systems are very similar. You're brought up to believe that you've got a, you know, got a good job, or go to uni, get a good degree, get a good job that's going to pay well. And instead of going inwards and looking at what it is you really, really, really want to do, for many, that is a familiar story. So I think that will resonate with many. So from there on, what were your next steps? So you're obviously having these realizations of what's going on, or maybe it is when you can look back, these patterns that have been triggered by certain stimuli. Continue.
Yeah, so I just came up with this while you were talking that, yeah, my father really was the doctor of self-destruction or self-worth destruction. He's been the blaming, and then I told you so, and then penalizing. So that has turned on this negative cycle of losing my self-worth. So what happened, I've done everything I could under the sun. I started the corporate career. Then I started up 2 or 3 businesses. Later on, I moved to New Zealand. I thought the distance from Hungary to New Zealand will resolve my problems. It didn't work. And then I started to seek out spiritual gurus around the planet. I traveled 63 countries to seek out the answers. And I, at the time, I was still hoping they are outside. And someone would tell me, of course, they were inside all along. And I did not find the right therapy, the right book, and I spent over $100,000 on, you know, Anthony Robbins events and weekend seminars and John DeMartini and T. Harv Eker, everything under the sun, whereas my breakthrough has not come. So when eventually we ended up here in Australia 5 years ago, and I fell into the usual patterns of working hard, and I always started side hustles to be able to break out of the job. And another story that I want to share, that my story was here when I had 2 children in Australia, that I have to work hard to pay the bills, and then I'm having my side hustle to break out of the job. Well, it didn't work, because I was always running my side hustle not to lose money, that's what exactly happened. So the stories again became a reality. And about 5 years ago, I almost lost my wife and two children because of these patterns of, they became skeptical of me, ever changing. And that's been now 20, 25 years of running on self-sabotage. And some of these nights when I got home has become an absolute self-abuse. I allowed my children to slap me in the face when I fell asleep, when I was to read the bedtime stories. And at times I just crashed on the floor and fell asleep. And at that night, I remember I was crying because I couldn't believe that I'd become exactly like my dad. And that was the lowest point, probably, where I said, I don't care what it takes. New story. I don't care what it takes. I will invest into myself. And this would be the sole and only purpose in my life, to overcome generational struggle or limitations of my mind. And I will shift myself and probably relationships around my, you know, in the whole environment. And I shortly after was able to hire a mindset specialist who had been able to access all of these dark ideas that I've been carrying, unlock my potential. And ever since, the Doctor of Self-Worth brand has been brought to life. And it was a bit of a few years in the making, germination, but the brand name came from my clients. They started to call me the doctor because I was quite meticulous and not, you know, taking too much time on zeroing on, you know, some call it limitations or emotional traumas, and resolve it fast so they are able to shift gear and really show up in their life as the next version. And I love my life. My children love me. I spend time with them. They are homeschooled. I enjoy what I do each day, every day. And I sometimes work over the weekends, which has never been the case before.
Right. Well, I mean, isn't it interesting that so it took you quite a while? And look, nothing happens overnight, does it? You know, you may have needed to learn the things that you learned from the Tony Robbins, T. Harv Eker, but all these things, I mean, they have things in them, and they're things that we do need to learn. But again, we're always looking for the answer to be an external answer. It's outside of us because we've been conditioned, and because of maybe how your father treated you, to not trust that inner voice. And that, in other words, you need help from outside. You're always looking for another guru, another book to read, another course to go on, another weekend convention to sort of go to. Whereas actually, it's always in the inner work. It always starts with you. But do you think that it's not just one thing? It's not just your dad. It could be part to do with the school, your peers, that we have been programmed from children to not trust that inner voice, to not trust our intuition, you know, rather than it being on one specific thing.
So true, so insightful. I think there's two factors that has shifted everything for me. One day I realized that personal development, the traditional way, the next book, the next seminar, caps out. Why? Because it has not given me a new experience of myself. And imagine I have all of these. I've got a demonstration tool I'm putting on. This colorful little lens in front of my eyes now, if you're listening in. So with these filters, I went to these seminars. So my mind has taken on anything that has been fitting into the limitations that I was carrying. I was taking action on the easy things, comfortable things. And I kind of disregarded everything else. And again, the trauma or the problems, then it started to really aggravate in my life. I had no more excuse. So from 8 out of 10 commitment level of, well, I'm working on myself, I'm really putting in what I need to, it has become a 10 out of 10 commitment when the pain and the perceived losing my wife, losing my family has really got me committed. And probably that's the biggest one I'm looking for in someone looking to work with me. That's where I'm being very selective, because virtually people have a guarantee of results because of my obstacle course to be able to have them work with me, because then there's no risk, because I don't really want anyone's money who's not getting what they came
the
for
results
for those results. But then there's one more thing that comes here, is that I didn't know, and probably because I wasn't committed enough, that this 34-year transformation could have been done in 6 to 12 months. Because of zeroing in on the uncomfortable patterns where the mind would never want to go to. Like, we're designed to avoid perceived dangers. We're designed to avoid this, I call this big black box in most of our heads, that the too hard to deal with part. Grief, loss, abuse, sometimes hard things happen in the past, which the child could not deal with. And as long as you avoid that, it's controlling your psychology and your results. And unfortunately, for most of us, before the transformation, because we are not able to build a bridge, to build a rapport with this mind, survival seems to run our psychology and our results. And survival is never about thriving or happiness. The subconscious mind doesn't care about you being happy or contribution. No, it's about keeping you safe. The well-known, familiar, old results. And it's painful.
Well, we're designed to, we just want to avoid pain. Avoiding pain seems to be more of a driving force than going for your goals. And yeah, I would agree. We all don't want to look into, I love that description there, that there's this black box that nobody wants to open. And of course it's true, because nobody wants to feel those feelings. Or the flip side of that is some people can get almost addicted to the, I don't want to say the therapy arena, but sometimes when they think they're dealing with this stuff, and then some of, you know, I'm not putting down any therapy, you know, they've all got their place and horses for courses, but sometimes they can get caught in the, because it's the talk therapy, and they're going into that place and talk, it's almost starting to create a victim mentality, or then they're constantly talking about that, which they don't realize actually that's holding you there. Yes, do it for a while you heal, and then put it, you know, you can remove the black box. The black box can go in the recycle bin and move on. But some people can stay stuck in that, okay, now we've delved in. You don't want to stay there, right? But I mean, you mentioned it's interesting what you mentioned there about your 34-year journey could have been done in 6 months. Could it? Yes and no. Or is that part of the journey? You know, that there are, you know, you would have learned a lot that would have been eventually subconscious when you're dealing it with this way. So, you know, there's no, you know, I just believe that, you know, as they say, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And for some people, they might need just that first level step to get them up to hear that message. Then they might be ready for the next teacher. So going straight in, sometimes for some people, their minds may not be ready to hear really hear that message. And like you say, you're working with people that, like you said, it's sometimes when you're in a lot of pain, like you just said there, that the fear of you losing your wife, the fear of you losing your children, I mean, like, something has to change now. And what quite often when people are looking for transformations, they're just dipping their toe in the water, really, because things are comfortable. You know, they've got a well-paid job. They've got the house. They got this. They got that. And although they would like to have this, there's not enough pain sometimes. I'm not saying that's in every case, but sometimes we can get complacent when we're comfortable, even if we're not where we want to be. And for some of us, it takes having your back against the wall and realizing that, oh no, things have to change today. Does that make sense?
Very, very common. And I love how you have put it, that I believe sometimes, and a lot of therapies I see, they re-trigger the old problems and then creates a recurring experience of the same thing, which, again, there are different therapies and some of them are just not resolving things at the root. It's a work on the surface or sometimes on the symptoms. Almost, I might give you an analogy. So if you have a garden and you have seen the weed is kind of taking over your little garden, then you don't usually go out to trim the weed. You would pull it by the root, so it is actually removed, so it won't grow back and take over again. And the mind works, I believe, exactly the same way. And what it requires, and especially subconscious mind, it's the programming is so strong that it prevails a lot of other ideas, and that's where commitment is key. But then also, the mind requires in therapy a very direct approach. A direct approach about what is the learning? What is this teaching you about yourself? And what does this mean? It's pretty much about changing the meaning of what happened in the past, because that could drop the emotions. It's almost like from victim, the person becomes cause about any events in the past. Now, from that place, there could only be then in the past empowering events. They could straight away turn around 180% their psychology in the present and in the future. And in this way, well, I'm not changing the past, but I help people to change their relation to what happened in the past. And that's where the power lies. Because when you become cause, then you have not changed things in the past. You have changed your identity in the present. And you have a new magnetic field from that point, because they're not good enough. The I can't do it, I'm unlucky, or I've got trauma drops away.
Love
and
that.
Then the emotions that you've been hanging on to, you know, fear, sadness, or being angry or frustrated, or, you know, feeling hurt, if you're not hanging on to it, emotion really becomes energy in motion, what it should be. We are designed to experience emotions and allow them to go. We've seen probably babies. They're amazing. One minute they are angry, the next minute they are peaceful, third minute they are asleep, and they are not hanging on. Unfortunately, trauma, much of the times early on in life, the mind did not have the wisdom, did not have the discernment to make sense of what happened. And then it just decides to hang on to sometimes what people have around you. You know, if mom was angry, dad was feeling not good enough, then how do you build a relationship with a wounded parent? Remember, what drives you is what is safe for me to get food, to be loved, recognized, and be supported, clothed, and fed. The best way to build rapport and connect with mom and dad, then, yeah, I'll be like them, because then I will not trigger them. I wouldn't be able to fit in to the environment. And now you can think about maybe school teachers, grandma, any authority that has been controlling the environment or who has been giving you suggestions about yourself. Remember, after the age of 12, 10 to 12, you could not filter information from outside. There's no conscious filter. You can imagine as if you had this drive, you know, these external drives that are used for computers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whatever happened around you has been directly burning the drive, your identity, up to the age of 10 and 12. And around maybe 13, 14, you really started to question parents. That, remember the teenagers, how they are starting to challenge mom and dad? They're looking for outside role models because they say, well, I'm not too sure. The filter is on. They challenge the status quo. The problem is the identity is already installed. That will create the results recurring until, and Karen, you really said this, until the recurring parents, the recurring events of, you know, they're not good enough, I'm not getting what I want, I'm not being respected, or people are abusive against me, has got to the point when one decides that probably I've been there in 10, 15 times in my life, looking back at age 30, 40, 50, that's when I get to meet people. And they realize that somehow I was involved. I don't know how, in some way, I have played a part. I have unintentionally caused things in my life. And that's the time when one takes charge, or at least not playing the victim anymore.
That what you just said there, that is key. And I really feel that that is the pretty much the biggest thing, is this taking control of the situation, as in accepting, just the full acceptance that, yeah, it was part of this is me. It's not just, never just one thing. I was a part of it. And I can't think what word you use there. It was unknowing. It's not blaming, saying, oh, I created this because I'm a bad person, but yeah, that was me. But unconsciously, I was doing this, which was reacting with this, and having that realization. I really think that is such a massive part from what you've just said there, is that realization of, oh, yeah, maybe how I was reacting was then I was attracting X, Y, Z. But it's okay, without blame or without, you know, feeling guilt or feeling shame, just, unconsciously. But now I'm conscious of it. Guess what? I can change it. I mean, it's so empowering. But some people are just not quite hearing that, what you said there, because in their perception of it could be, it's not my fault. I'm the victim here. And that is keeping them apart from their healing, because it's not about blame. We're not talking about blame. It's not your fault because you, but knowing that, how I've responded to that particular stimuli or that particular circumstance or that kind of abuse has then in turn attracted this response or this reaction, and that's how it's sort of going. That realization, it's just so empowering. But I feel, do you not feel that not everybody, are they ready to hear that yet? Because they will defend some.
Look, the mind main principle, and you may have heard that subconscious runs 99% of your life. I would say almost 100%, and your results. And it's called subconscious because you are not aware of a lot of things. And if I want to put this into numbers for some of you, then the mind, the five senses, can only take in less than 1% of reality around you. So you think you know what is out there or what's happening in a relationship or in your business, but you have a picture of 1% of what is actually happening. That's a very tiny piece for you. For you to have a smart and a well-informed reality of the truth. And unless you hire someone who can see the 99% that you don't even realize is there, you won't be able to move on. Now, why is this? One thing is the victim chooses, subconscious mind chooses the path of least resistance. So why would I want to change when I have been okay in this lukewarm water for most of my life? And my parents have been through this, and it's a similar way, and I'm doing maybe a bit better. So that's one thing why you're not getting probably the results that you're looking for, because consciously most people have set their goals. It's in every personal development course. But then the other part of the mind, I'm talking subconscious, has to be on board for you to make progress. Now, here's the problem. These two start to massively fight in your head. You take in action, and then you start to self-sabotage yourself. Why is this happening? It's because the map from the past, remember I've talked about this, the map of life has been installed early on in your life, and at times it's tied to events that has not been resolved, to especially not in an empowering way. Like, unfortunately, the mind that is running you has some strange nature. It always creates a story, and most of the time the story is disempowering. The story, it's almost like this critic explaining things as your fault. It's searching for what you've done wrong and looking for the negative in a lot of things. And I really want you to understand why that is happening. Like, we're working with this mind that's been running amok for hundreds of thousands of years, probably. And the mind that has kept alive the caveman was absolutely about where is danger, what I need to avoid to then save my family and be able to pass on my genes to the next generations. So I will not cross this plain. I see a better cave on the other side of the river, but the river has crocodiles. There's a lot of perceived danger in the way. So what would you do? You would probably hang on to what's safe, what you know, and your mind would be always going up, where is the predator? Where is the danger? And most people live their life with looking for danger. Imagine that drives their attention, that drives their focus, and you may have seen massive putting people's focus on danger in the last few years by the media. But you already have got it. You've been planted with this mind, and now it's being triggered. And as long as you're focusing on danger, what you pay attention to, what you give energy to, it will grow in your life. So you 100%. End up having more and more and more of it unconsciously, again, creating more and more problems and more of what you do not want, because the map is wrong.
It's almost that's massive. That is massive. And I would agree, you know, the media have, that's why the best thing I ever did 2 years ago was get rid of my television. I can't I don't even know. I'm so behind everything. I'm just like, I don't care. I'll focus on my world. if I can't directly make a change in something, and yes, there's lots of things, awful things going on in the world, as well as lots of amazing good things going, but we hear one side of it and one side of it alone. Now, if it's something's local that I can physically do something about, I'm going to help. If I can't, if it's beyond me, why would I want to put myself in that whole feeling of place? Even empathy and sympathy, is it helping? This whole, it's almost like we've been again, oh, well, you should feel like that because you should sympathize. Oh, who's it helping? That's just virtue signaling, isn't it? That's not helping you. So all these stresses that have been put on people on top of their day-to-day instinctive, you know, looking out for fear is, I mean, it's just too much. We're not designed to cope with so much stress. And there isn't a predator. There aren't crocodiles in the river down the road. These are all perceived threats, which is having exactly the same physiological reaction going on. The same hormones are being released as though there were crocodiles in the river down there. I mean, it's crazy to think that part of it we do to ourselves with creating our stories, then we're being, if you're allowing it to, you're being dumped on by more external, something that's happening thousands of miles away where you couldn't possibly do anything about. No wonder so many people are unhealthy, unhappy, because cortisol is not helping the mind, it's not helping the body, it's not helping the spirit. It's such a shame because it can all be flipped around so easily.
So profound. I loved how you have been articulating. Yeah, like how does that help you to know that another tourist bus has dropped off a high mountain in South America? You really need to ask yourself and create boundaries. I did that 15 years ago. And I said, well, I start to filter what's feeding my mind. If I love myself, I think it comes down to self-love. Are you loving yourself enough to control what's affecting your mind? Because everything is affecting your mind. Some people thinking, oh, I'm just watching horror films for fun. Well, I've met a few of them. And it may, the story is that it's fun, but the level of fear and phobias that people have, and you know what, it's no different when you hear negative news, because that, remember, it's a commercial organization. The news is just there to grab your attention so then they can sell you the ads. So positive news will not be so triggering enough to suggest you. So remember that.
Well, we said we run away from pain. We said earlier, didn't we, that pain, running away from pain is a stronger, unfortunately. And you've just said that there. You know, the news, they've got to sell what's coming. And how mad that, unfortunately, the positive thing isn't a strong enough thing to sell their stuff. It's they've got to grab your attention with the negative, which is, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? It's like, why? Why are we... But I suppose it's that, again, it's that we want to run away from fear. So it does grab us our attention, if you're not aware of it, because, you know, what have I got to do now to get away from this perceived threat? And now put the adverts on and buy my stuff.
Yes, and I want to go very radical here. So hopefully you will remember this. If you sit in front of the television, you may be even eating or drinking, you pretty much go into a trance. Open up that subconscious mind. Remember, the subconscious mind is running your results. You say, all right, it's open, suggest me. And you will be suggested with a lot of things. And you might find yourself running down to McDonald's, eating crap, popping the pills, because they tell you what to do. And if you allow it, and I was watching television for a while because that's what I have seen. Remember, my parents were doing it and they were watching it to know what's happening in the world. Well, probably you would have a different experience if you visited countries. And this was in my head. I said, well, I don't want to know from the news what is it like to live in Cambodia or what is the experience there, because it was blacklisted by New Zealand, where I lived at the time. And I said, well, I just don't believe it until I go and see myself how dangerous it is. Well, it was one of the most amazing trips I've ever had in my life, especially with the people, how safe I felt and how much contribution they have done to my life and I have done for them. That's where I started my kind of Visit Orphans Today project, which is about involving as many people as possible, and it's a Facebook thing, Visit Orphans Today, to really show up, have a human connection, and help orphans however you want. Give them a hug, stay there a few hours, play with them, or the way I do it is sometimes I just ask what they need, and rather than sending money through organizations, which at times tiny amount, if any, arrives, I deliver it myself with my little family, and then I share the experience. Would love you to be part of it, and I would love to have a whole directory of orphanages around airports, around big cities, because probably you're missing out an amazing experience, maybe 300 meters from the hotel where you're staying, because you don't know, you could have spent 1 or 2 hours really having a human connection.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. And because, and especially for me personally, I was adopted as a baby. There was three of us, all of mixed race. My parents are English. So can you imagine in the 70s, they took on three mixed race babies. A challenge for them as well as for us. And, you know, I am grateful every day for that, having that opportunity, because the alternative would have been being brought up in a home. I truly believe that I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if that had happened, because, you know, I was lucky enough to be I'm not all for traditional schooling, but I did have a happy upbringing. I was in a safe home, so I had opportunities, and, you know, because of trauma through being brought up in a children's home, other sides of things. If I hadn't have been introduced to the self-development arena as I was 20 years ago, I know that's changed my life since. You know, I get it. You know, not everybody has the same opportunities growing up due to things that are totally not in their control. They had no control over being an orphan. So to me, especially what you're doing is absolutely phenomenal. And yeah, well, I hope more people get involved with that. So with your mission, so I know you want to change 1 million lives and 1 million orphans through your Visit Orphans Today project. So you mentioned that was from your sort of trip to Cambodia. How many years has this all been going?
It's been going for 10 years, and I need to admit I have not been able to really scale it and make it a movement. But I always believed that, you know, there are ideas, especially around love, acceptance, really giving to those who are lack of pretty much all the resources, is, you know, there are ideas which time has come. And probably this is one of those. So I would love you to maybe like the page and bring on any orphanage with the details and what they need. So they are, you know, whoever is traveling around, because I know most of Western travelers, they spend thousands of pounds or euros, and, you know, 10 or 20 makes a massive difference in children's lives. I've been to Africa and we were able to buy 20 kilos of rice from maybe $30. Wow. And that was feeding kids for weeks. So the tiny bit that you are at times providing is making a massive difference. And I really wanted to take this to the next level, where now if you have issues around not getting what you want, now think about orphans. Like, what is their psychology? No one cares about me. It's not going to work. I'm alone. I was left behind, abandoned. I don't want to go deeper with this. But then I would love to take this work that I'm doing to shift.
Yes.
Generations to come. Really give hope and plant a new seed to new life. And orphan, 40-year-old, 60-year-old, this works.
Yeah.
I just need commitment.
Yeah. I mean that is massive. Like, you know, I've said for a long time that this stuff should be taught in schools. But let's go to another level. Like you say, you know, I said this the other day. I'm sure I have got unconscious abandonment issues going on that maybe I should delve into. And I haven't. I've probably avoided it myself. However, it's not having a really bad effect on me right now. I know it's something that, you know, when I have a little bit of time, maybe I will go down, maybe I'll go into my little black box that I've been avoiding in my mind. But for those children that had nothing and brought up in a home or an orphanage, I mean, just, you know, my mind boggles with that. And which is, so this is where this teaching is essential. Because imagine the transformations that could come from that. So if anybody would like to be involved with that, can you just, to the listeners, how do they get in touch?
It's if you put in Facebook, Visit Orphans Today, in one block, the page will come up. And if you have any experience, an address for visited orphans, I would love you to share your experience. And I really want to take this idea to the next level, to bring in hundreds of thousands and millions of people, because it is meaningful. At the end of our lives, probably it wouldn't matter how much money you've earned, or, you know, it will be about love. Let me help you with that. The meaningful things will come as you grow older and older to the front of your mind. So let's be real and make
wonderful. What an amazing thing you're doing there. Okay, so for for the listeners, if they can't see, so we'll have all the details anyway down here if you're watching this, wherever you're watching this on. But if you're just listening via the radio or via podcast, how do people then get in touch with you if they're interested in coming on to help, you know, delve into their own little black box? Maybe they've decided, maybe I should have a little poke around and maybe have a clear out, maybe do a spring clean of my little black box. Maybe it's time. Come on, it's, you know, come on, it's beginning of March, it's springtime. It's time to do the spring cleaning. So how would they get in touch with you?
So easiest way, if you put in the search hashtag Doctor of Self-Worth, probably will end up at one of my videos or one of the social media pages. And also I have a free ebook on my website, which is www.doctorofselfworth.com, and you will find a free ebook download. It's called Journey to Your Authentic Self-Worth. It has a few exercises in it to really start to open up that black box
that you're avoiding.
That's holding the keys to your life. And I have a small group starting probably next month. It's called Mastering the Inner Voice, when we really go into what has been working for the last few years with clients in a group setting, and we'll be able to shift many of you. It wouldn't be more than 8 to 10 people. So it has some one-on-one time. And Karen, I think you're a lucky one. I will have time for you to maybe shift a little things, because it has parabolic the effect of dropping seemingly tiny things in the way is, remember, shifting reality big time. Unexpected things start to take place. Synchronicities, hunches, coincidences start to happen to make reality, the new version of you, starting to show up. Even relationships start to change. That's what I hear back from some of my clients. They had, you know, a certain person triggering them, and then mysteriously they tend to change their behavior. Of course, it's not them, but the experience is that, oh wow, people are,
there you go,
evaluating me more. They are listening to me. I'm being heard. They're not hurting me anymore. Now I'm taken seriously. And of course, you create a few more boundaries. And voila.
And that's it, isn't it? We I don't know why we go through life thinking, you're gonna change that person. I mean, I know I've done that in the past, thinking, oh, you know. No, you can only change yourself. You can only change yourself. It starts with you. So it's all about doing the inner work. And I don't know why, because it's an intangible, Andre, don't you find? Until people, you don't get it until you get it. So for some people who aren't ready to hear that, they're just like, oh, it's an intangible, oh, do the inner work. But because it's not something they can touch and see and, you know, it's, oh, well, no, but I've got to do this. I've got to do the work. I've got to do the work that they perceive to be the work. You know, I've got to do my social media, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this. I'm too busy. I was just so busy being busy. I wasn't very productive.
But avoiding is the pattern.
Totally. Avoiding. And then justifying it in my mind. What are you? But I'm busy. I'm busy being busy.
Exactly. It's almost like I haven't got the time to fix the tire, but I'm doing 5Ks and I through the bumps, and I don't know what's wrong with the road.
I mean, but it is.
I haven't got time to look at my bloody tire that's been blown 10 years ago.
We are, as I've got to be careful how I use my verbiage, but it does make me laugh because we are really quite phenomenal beings, really. And you've got to be able to take a step back and laugh at yourself and go, oh my goodness, have I really been doing this or reacting this way or getting these results because of this? Like, of when I was four, like we have to find a way to lighten it. Or when we talk about going inward and doing the work and, oh, trauma, it's quite heavy, isn't it? It's like, oh, and that might be why people are avoiding. It's like, lighten it up, man. You're not there anymore. You're here. You're a new person. You're not even the same body as you were back then. Like, come on, man. Look at it. No matter what happened, it's done. Yeah. It's done. So we have to find a way to lighten it, bring it up and clear it. And look at yourself from a different perspective and have a laugh, because it is actually funny when you look back and you think, really? That was all my fault? Oh, my goodness. Silly me. But it's okay without blame. Saying silly me without, oh, really silly me. I don't mean it like that, as in like, oh my goodness, look what I've been attracting because of that. Then you can change it.
Absolutely. And if you're able to just golden nugget, if you can take this just one this thing away, you're able to look at hardships, failures, relationship challenges, money, whatever it is now in your life, as a reflection of the deeper parts of the unconscious mind that you have not yet faced and resolved, you are on the ball. You will have a chance to resolve it all, but I haven't really seen too many people doing it to themselves. I've got to be honest.
And that's where it is. I know I've got to do it. I know I've got to have a proper. I've had some little peaks and worked on it, but I know I need to dive into that. But I know I'm resisting it. I've gone there a couple of times. And
what happens is you tend to scale and magnify your results. And it will not be coming from pushing hard. Now, that's the magic.
Well, I mean, I can tell already, you know, from the work that I've done that, oh, man, I think it didn't have to be so hard. Man, why was I working so hard at everything? Oh, it's so much easier now. I'm with you. Look, I could talk to you for hours. It's a subject that I'm still fascinated over. I feel like I sit sort of similar, as in I feel like I've been a student of the self-development arena for about 20 years. And it's only the last year that I'm like, I've been getting it all wrong. Or no, reword that. I've perceived the information that I was getting in the wrong way. Thoughts become things. Thoughts. Ego. And now the realization that it's a lot easier than that. Yeah. I've taken my glasses off.
Has to come
Andre.
Off.
I took my glasses off. I finally got my glasses off and it's so much easier. So look, I could talk to you for forever. So thank you so much for your time today. It's been absolutely fascinating. So, just repeat your website. It was the doctor of self-worth.com. So fantastic for that. For the rest of you, any listeners out there, if you want to get in touch with me and be part of our directory as a coach consultant, website/directory. Otherwise, I will be back on Monday with a coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Bye.
Coffee with Karen podcast. a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs, from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo.